thank the Lord that the privilege to be here tonight. And so hate to meet outside when you got a nice place inside like this. It's nice and cool in here and very comfortable. We thank the Lord for the folks allowing us to use the building tonight. Appreciate that. Appreciate the good singing tonight. And I'm glad I got a Savior to trust. Amen. Old Billy Kelly used to say he's a Savior that's worth being proud of. And he certainly is that. We have been, since Monday night, preaching on life lessons from the Lord. His schooling is never out. If you have been saved, He has placed you in a lifetime school. And the only way you can graduate is to die. And all of His courses, all of His lessons are life lessons. You'll never take any of our Lord's lessons and get down the road and say, "Boy, I'm glad that lesson's over with. I didn't do well in it. I got a D+, but I'm glad it's behind me." Yeah. No, all of His lessons are life lessons. He'll just keep teaching them over and over and over and over again. So if you failed a few of them, don't worry. He's going to run them back by and see. And you've done real good in them. That doesn't matter either. He's going to still run them right by you again. We have looked at two or three already. We looked at the life lesson of trusting in God. It is a life lesson. We also looked at the life lesson of hearing from God. I tell you, that's a good way to know if you're saved or not, if God talks to you. You say, "Well, God's never talked to me." Well, He never talks to nobody but His people. It's the only people He talks to. And then last evening, we got a little soupy around the camp meeting. Last night, we looked at the life lesson of giving unto the Lord. And we looked at giving Him gratitude. That old gal with the alabaster box, she anointed His head and smothered His feet with kisses. What in the world's that crazy woman doing? Oh, she's just telling Him thank you. That's all she is doing, and showing her gratitude. Tonight we want to begin our thoughts in the book of Joshua, chapter number 1. I want to look at another life lesson. Remember, don't get fuzzy-wuzzy on me tonight. Think you could learn this lesson here in just this few moments we'd be getting together. Oh no, this is a lesson that'd take you all your life to learn. It is the lesson of thinking about God. Thinking about God. Filling the mind with God. We want to deal tonight, if we can, with our relationship with our Bible. Because a picture of our relationship with Him is pictured by our relationship with our Bible. If you left your Bible at home tonight, you left Him at home. Tell you a lot about your relationship with Him. It is pictured by our relationship with our Bible. As we begin to look in the Bible about thinking about God, Joshua, chapter number 1, they're fixing to go across the Jordan River into the Canaan land. I hope you don't believe the Canaan land is a heavenly land. If it is, I don't want to go. There's some of the viciousest fights they ever had was in the Canaan land. But before passing over into this land, He says to them in verse 8, "This book of the law," talking about the Bible, "shall not depart out of thy mouth, Thou shalt meditate. There's our little word. It has the idea of thinking. Something that a lot of us don't like to do. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then I shall make thy way prosperous. Then I shall have good success. As we look at this text and others tonight about thinking about God, it's a life lesson. It's not easily learned. I draw our attention here to the command of meditation. There is a commanding principle. He says in verse number 8, but thou shalt meditate. It's not a request. He's not making a request of these people that are going to spiritual battle. No, no, no. It's not a suggestion. The Hebrew, it is an imperative command. He says, thou shalt meditate. I was interested in that little word, meditate. We get our little word, muse, from it. And we also get our little word, ruminate, from it. Now, preacher, you ought not to come from Georgia up here and use those big words. Ruminate. What in the world is that? The word ruminate means to chew the cud. Yes. Chew the cud. To turn it over and over again. Taking small portions of the Bible in the morning, putting them in the mind, and turning them over in the mind all day long. Ruminating. You know, old cow chews the cud. He'll chew on it a while and just swallow it down. After a while, he'll burp it back up, chew on it some more. After a while, he'll swallow it down, and burp it back up, chew on it some more. And he'll do that all day long until it becomes juices, nothing left to chew. And he'll swallow it down. This is awful deep. I don't know if you can even get this or not. Maybe way over your head. When he swallows that last swallow down, that becomes cow.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you turn over in your mind all day long portions of the Word of God, swallow them down into your soul, after a while, you're into some other thing. You're driving down the highway. Burp it back up into your mind and chew on it some more. Swallow it down into your soul. And then burp it back up into your mind. Chew on it some more. Swallow it down in your soul. And just before you go to bed, you have chewed on it for the last time. And you swallow it down in your soul. This is awful deep. I don't even know if you can get it or not. It will become Christ-likeness inside of you, and it'll produce itself in your words and your deeds and your actions. You will become to act like Him. We are commanded to do it. It is not a request. It is a command. He says here in our text to meditate therein day and night. Do not think for a moment that Joshua is insinuating that we would want to do this in the morning and then again at night. Some of us have patted ourselves on the back that we've had a little time with God in the morning and we've had a little time with God at night. That little phrase does not say that. That little phrase in Hebrew is a slang phrase, and it is the meaning of every wakening hour. He said, every wakening hour, I would like for you to be burping up into your mind, turning over in your mind the Word of God. You say, what in the world would I want to do that for? That's just crazy. Not only do we see there is a commanding principle, but I notice there is a commanding promise. He says in verse number 8, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, I did not know if you would see that phrase or not. I thought I'd underline it. The little phrase is, for only then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then, only then, after you have mused and meditated and turned over in your mind the Word of God, he says, and then thou shalt have good success. I was interested in that word prosperous. It means profitable, to break out, to be mighty over. It is in the continuous tense. The little word success is the chief place, the highest seat. It has the idea. This is awful deep. I don't know if you can get it or not. It has the idea, that little word success, of being both rich here and rich over there. Wow. There's some of you sitting here tonight, you're pretty well off here. But I bet you ain't going to be well off over there. How come? You don't spend your day musing and turning over in your mind the Word of God. He says, for then. Of course, I don't know about you. I'd rather, if I had my choices, I'd rather be rich over there than rich over here. How come? That's a lot longer to be rich. Hello. You wouldn't have to go to Titusville and get a rocket scientist degree to figure that out. That'd be rich forever. Yes, listen to me tonight. Oh, I'm talking about a commanding principle, a commanding promise. If you've got the Bible there tonight, Psalms 1, we're talking about the life lessons, not easily learned. Don't get fuzzy-wuzzy on me and say, boy, that's what I want to do. I want to prosper. I want to be successful. I want to turn the Word of God over my mind all day long. That's what I'm going to start doing tomorrow. Yeah, and all hell's fixing to break out. Devil won't like it. You're going to do that. Huh? He'd rather for you to stand on the King James Bible than to get off from it and open it. Huh? He don't care if you stand on it. Just don't cock it and open it. Huh? My middle son, he has 8 kids. They live off the road. He's gone all day long. His wife wanted a pump action shotgun last Christmas. That's what she wants. She's a size 4. I said, what in the world you want a pump action shotgun for? She said, I want them to hear it when I cock it. Hey, the devil ain't scared of you standing on no King James Bible. But if you go to cocking it, he gets edgy.
Yeah, amen.
You go to opening it and meditating on it and thinking about it. He don't like that. Not only do we see the command of meditation, but we see the confidence of meditation. This is written by a man who's probably the king over several million people. He's a busy man. He says in verse number 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he, there's that little word again, meditate day and night. What kind of man would do that? David tells us in verse 1 of this psalm, he's talking about the blessed man. I was interested in that little word, blessed. It's the word happy. But it is in the plural. It's not just happy. It's happy, 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 happy. I look at a lot of Baptists every night, and they don't look like they're happy. Leastwise, they ain't told their face yet they're happy. Wonder if it's because our delight is not in the Word of God. There is a confiding delight here. He says his delight is in the law of the Lord. I can remember that I was under the curse of the law of the Lord when I was lost. But now that I have been taken out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a solid rock, that which was a curse hanging over me, that which was judgment hanging over me, is now a delight to me. I delight in the law of the Lord. He says, in this law doth he meditate day and night. I was interested in that little word, delight. It means to have a passion for, to take great pleasure in. I wonder tonight, do you take great pleasure in this book? Is it is your delight tonight? If you have a choice in doing anything else, and one of them is to get in your Bible, is that the choice you always make as your first choice? Because this book is your delight tonight. I was thinking about the old story I heard some time ago of the blind girl. They had bought her a Braille Bible. She just loved, every time they saw her, she's just running her hands across that Bible and just reading it, just loved her Bible. Had a kitchen fire one night when she's cooking, and she burned her hands real bad. And the touch in her fingers were burnt, and she could no longer feel that Braille. The old pastor went over to see her, and she was just so despondent. She was so depressed, and she had that old Braille Bible laying in her lap, and she told the preacher, she says, I just hate it. I just hate it. I can't read my Bible no more. And she picked the Bible up, and she opened it. She says, I just love my Bible. And she went to kissing her Bible, and she noticed that she had the same feeling in her lips that she had in her fingers. They said the rest of her life, it said every time you see her, she's kissing her way through the Bible. I love the hound out of that, don't you? Oh, my. Most of us won't even open it. Here she's kissing her way through it. I'm talking about a confiding delight tonight. But I see also in our text this confidence of meditation. Not only is there a confiding delight, but there's a confiding depth tonight. Why in this world would I want to meditate on the Bible day and night? He says in verse number 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall, there's that prospering deal again. He says this tree here brings year-round fruit all the time. I was thinking about the depth of this tree. Further on in the Psalms, the psalmist compares you and I, if you're a believer tonight, to a palm tree. Palm tree. That's an interesting tree during this hurricane season. Plant a palm tree, they say they immediately put down root system. You say, preacher, are they in search of water? Absolutely not. No, sir. They search for a rock, some kind of rock, some kind of boulder underneath the ground. Once they find a rock or a boulder, they wrap all of their root system around that rock continually. I hear tell somewhere in the Bible he said he was a rock of ages. Once they have tangled up all around that rock, then they will shoot out tentacles looking for water. They've been known to go a half a mile looking for a water system once they have tangled around that rock. You say, what's the big deal about that? You look at those hurricanes. You look at Andrew down there that blowed into Miami in that area, took whole neighborhoods away, wiped them out. Ain't nothing left but the cement slab. And then all through the neighborhood, the palm trees waving in the breeze. They still standing. Are you listening to me? I tell you tonight, you deepen yourself in the Word of God, hail can burp, things can fall apart around you, and you'll still be happy, 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 blowing in the breeze. Huh? But I tell you what, if you ain't in the Word of God, you're liable to get a rope out, take you some pills, and stick a gun in your mouth before it's over with. Are you listening to me tonight? I'm talking about the confidence of meditation. If you've got the Bible there tonight, Hebrews chapter number 5. Could I mention not only the command of meditation, the confidence of meditation, could I mention the components of meditation, the components of meditation? Please forgive me, Hebrews chapter 5. I have read this passage on numerous occasions. I've preached from it from numerous occasions. But something jumped out of this passage to me not long ago, and it scared me to death. I'm hoping it'll scare you to death tonight. He mentions two components in this text about meditation. He makes two analogies about your Bible. Two analogies about it. The analogies are in verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, not of strong meat. Makes two comparisons of the Bible, two components. He compares the Bible to milk and meat. And you know the difference, don't you? Milk, meat. I asked that to a young boy the other night, and he told me one was a liquid and the other was a solid. Wasn't really what I was looking for. But this is a deep truth. This may be way over your head theological. One of them comes from a cow and the other one is a cow. And the majority of Baptist people sitting on Baptist pews, whether they've been saved a year or they've been saved 50 years, they're living on milk. What is milk tonight? It is what you get from somebody else. It's what you get from the preacher. It's what you get from a Sunday school teacher. It's what you get from your little iPhone reading your little articles. See, once I take it in and I shake it up and I homogenize it and I give it to you, it ain't nothing but milk. The only way you can get steak is you must open the cow. And you must cut yourself some off and you must feed yourself. You must get in this book and you say, wow, I've never seen that before. Woo, that's good. That's the only way. Now, here's what scared me to death about some of you sitting right here. You may be good people. You may be on your way to heaven. But you have spent your entire life living on milk. Just what you can get from somebody else. Watch the text. He says in verse 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of a full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What hit me is if you're on milk, all you do is what you can get from somebody else. The writer of Hebrews said, you can't tell the difference in good or evil. Now that's scary. Are you listening to me tonight? CDC, not long ago in Atlanta, Georgia, they made a study of the milk that a nursing mother gives her baby. And I know that they didn't want me to get out of the article what I got out of the article. But I was thinking about that verse that Peter uses, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. They said in the article, if a baby is born and it's a preemie, the first time that baby's lips touch its mama, tells its mama, I'm a preemie, her body immediately makes an overproduction
of protein. And the next time she nurses the baby gets an overdose of protein. I hear tell, you correct me if I'm wrong, I hear tell protein make baby fat. If baby go to daycare and comes in contact with a virus, that night when the lips touch the mama, it tells the mama what virus it has come in contact with, and her body immediately makes the antibodies, makes the medicine that is needed, and the next time she nurses the baby gets the medicine for the virus that it come in contact with at the daycare. Some time ago, my youngest daughter-in-law, she has five kids. She burnt the snot out of her arm. I mean, you could almost see down inside of it. The lady down the street, she has 10 kids. She's more advanced than my daughter. She only has five. She told her that she had burned her arm real bad. And she asked her, she said, "You nursing that last baby?" She said, "Yes, I am." She said, "Do you have any milk in the freezer?" She said, "I do." She said, "Thaw it out." And she said, "Lather that burn in that baby's milk." She did. 3 days later, you couldn't hardly tell she'd been burned. I'm telling you tonight, if God would do that with a mother's milk, I'm telling you this book tonight, if you're feeling wore out spiritually, you get in this book. He'll give you the protein you need to keep on going on. If the viruses of this world, if somebody's hurt you, instead of yah-yahing to somebody else about you've had your guts cut out and handed to you on a platter, get in this book and it'll heal you. And you won't even know you've been hurt. I'm talking about the components of this book. Can I close tonight, if you've got the Bible, in Psalms 143? Not only do I see the command of meditation, confidence, the components, but I see in Psalms 143 the conclusion of meditation. Preacher, why in this world would I want to spend my life getting up every day, getting a little portion of the Word of God and turning it over and over in my head, swallowing it down in my soul? What would be the conclusion to such an effort? I notice this Psalm 143 is written by David, a man who was over several million people. He's a very busy man. But he says in Psalms 143 in verse 5, he mentions a concluding practice. He said, "I remember the days of old, and I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the works of thy hands." David said, "I like to just sit around, Lord, and just bring up into my mind all the good things." See, we like to sit around and bring up all the bad things in our mind. No, David said he wasn't going to do that. He said, "I like to just sit around and remember all the good things that has happened to me." See, he uses that little word. Did you see that little word there in verse 5? That little word, muse. See, you and I, we love to do something. It's the little word. It's got the little word muse in it. The word muse means to think. But we like another word that's got muse in it. Yeah. It's amusement. Little word, when you put A in front of muse, it no thinking. I love to do things when I ain't got to think. Oh, it's so fun. See, some of you come to church, I'm amused. I don't think a bit. Are you listening to me? Oh, no. He says, "I love to sit around, think upon the things that God has done for me." There's a concluding practice. But I see in our text there's a concluding path. Why would I want to do that for? He says in verse number 8, he says, "Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee.
Verse 10, he says, teach me to do thy will. Do you realize this morning, this night, if you'll get in this book every day, David says, when I sit and remember the things that God has done for me, he shows me the path that I ought to take, and he shows me the will of God. I'm telling you tonight, you'll not have all kinds of foul decisions you made. You won't have two or three marriages under your belt tonight and messed up time and time again tonight. David said, when I have meditated upon the Word of God, he has directed my path. He has shown me his will tonight. I was thinking in closing tonight, I read a story years ago about some ladies at the country club. They had a book club, and they would meet at the beginning of every year, and they would choose a book that they were going to read that year. And one of the ladies had brought up an author that she would like for them to read a book by. And this one lady in the book club, she was just adamant. She said, I don't want to read nothing by him. She said, I just don't like his writing. I mean, she is arrogant about it. So they finally had to choose another book. Well, the next year, the same lady that had been so arrogant about it, this next year, she brought up this author that she would like for the book club to read one of his books. One of the other ladies punched another lady there, and she said, she get adamant last year about reading after that guy. Said she couldn't stand him. The other lady leaned over. She said, you haven't heard? She said, no, what? She said, she's engaged to be married to that guy. I hear tell if you're engaged to be married to the fellow that wrote this book, it'll change your whole outlook on this book. You wouldn't dare leave this book at home if this was a book of love letters that your soon-to-be husband has written you. You would want to keep them close so you can constantly look at them. Would you stand tonight? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We wait in God's presence for a moment or two. I don't know what your need is. I don't even know what your relationship with your Bible is. But as you search your own heart, you would admit to yourself, and that would be a great admission, that you're living on milk. You realize how dangerous it is, that you could get to the place where you don't even know good from evil. Maybe your relationship with your Bible is very loose. It's not very strong. You see this life lesson tonight about thinking about God. Maybe you want to come to an altar tonight and just root you out of place and say, Lord, I am so sorry for taking your Bible for granted. Lord, help me tonight to get in the Word. Get the meat, not just the milk. Maybe you're here tonight and you've realized for the first time the reason why you don't have any relationship with your Bible is because you're lost. You're in need of a Savior. While we wait, these folks are going to play a little something on the instruments. Altar's open. You need to come tonight. Well, then you come. I wouldn't twist your arm. You know what kind of relationship you got with your Bible. Sir, your wife knows you. She don't ever see you touch a Bible. Sir, you know you don't ever see her touch a Bible. Why don't you both just get in an altar tonight and say, we're so sorry. We've taken the Bible for granted. Just living on what we get from somebody else. We want to start getting us some meat, getting us some cow. While we wait, Altar's open. You come. What a wonderful book. What a wonderful love letter. Our roadmap, our manual. If you're here, you're not saved, will you come? Get us settled tonight. Please mind the Lord. Thank you so much for coming tonight. I don't know whose watch this is, but I want one. It says it's 2 minutes after seven. That sure would help me on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But I sure appreciate the Lord being so good to us. Thank you for that message, Brother Tom. What a blessing. Oh, we sure need to love our Bible and let it live through us. Don't forget tomorrow night, 7:30, back here at Pine Grove. I want to say again to Pine Grove, Brother Mike, I sure appreciate y'all letting us use the church building. And just be praying for the service. Call someone, invite them to come tomorrow night. And then don't forget Sunday afternoon, 5 o'clock, over at the Tabernacle, our 50th anniversary Jubilee service. Brother Leon will be preaching. The Straightway Singers, at least, and others, I'm sure, but Straightway Singers will be singing. And then all next week, Monday through Friday, 7:30 at the Tabernacle. Brother Tony Finney will be preaching. You pray and do your best to come. Tell your folks around the church and everybody else, tell your friends and your enemies that they need to be there. And let's just pray that God will just move. I appreciate those that have come tonight. Any updates, we'll put on hpcampmeeting.com. Or you can call David Younger. He's the only one I know that still has his phone number in the phone book, so you can find him easily. All right. Thank you for being here. Let's ask God just to touch us and help us and just continue to just work in our midst. Brother Sammy Eaton, if you will, close us in prayer.